people willing to allow Barack Obama and his SARS to tax us into bankruptcy while Michelle Obama and her 26 aides live it up on our dime.
Wow. Let me go to Jonathan Martin on this. It seems to me, when I hear people going after the First Lady and the number of staff people they have, it sounds racist to me. It sounds like people are mad we have a black First Lady.
It's an absurd insinuation.
There is something about the way she conjures the ancestors. She dances when she walks like she's from the Congo. Pure. Convo like Asada Shakur says, brothers don't understand the science behind her self-reliance. She has a tattoo of Noble Drew on her neck and a tattoo of Marcus Garvey on her breast and says you've got to have the presence of Martin Delaney if you ever hope to have a future in getting past her Malcolm X. She is smooth as the Hennessy she's sipping as we listen to Horace Silver playing our third game of chess, and I can't help but stare into the natural texture of her hair as she compares George Padmore with C.L.R. James. And from there, she discusses Rodney's, how Europe underdeveloped Africa, and compares that to Kwame Nkrumah's neocolonialism, the last stage of imperialism. And as her lips move, I get lost in her rhythm. And as her thoughts move, I get lost in her wisdom. I love it when she sings CCY2 to the children. I love it when we go on vacations and she puts that homemade sign on the door that says, do not disturb. Nation building. She is Harriet Tubman, loving her people with a passion, fashion like that last chapter in Carter G. Woodson's Miseducation of the Negro. We go conjure the ancestors after every poetry reading, breathing life into the souls that surround us like New Orleans, constantly calling me back. I bathe her in compliments. I wrap her confidence around my waist. I taste her ancestors' DNA every night because there's something spiritual about swallowing the same fluids that once coursed to the physical forms of her predecessor slaves and tribes. And yo, you might think you know me, but if you ain't never seen me with her, then you ain't never seen me alive. I said, you might think you know me, but if you ain't never seen me with her, then you ain't never seen me alive, because she goes from J.A. Rogers to Abubakar while her heart beats the rhythm of the Haitian Revolution and she dances to it, singing the songs of the Cimarron colonies of San Salvador. And as she moves, there's something about the way she conjures the ancestors. There's something about the way she conjures my soul by day and by night. There is something about the way that she has conjured me back from the dead. There is something about the way that she conjures me continuously back to life.
In my research, it's plain to me that there is an intensive effort going on today to categorize, stereotype, and basically identify each member of society. And they're starting with the very youngest, our school kids, with these screening for so-called mental health. Just answer this question. Have you ever felt sad? Well, I venture to say everyone's going to say yes.
Band, we all must agree, we like to get groovy with the sounds of the old time. We like to jam, cause man, sound from the band, stand hand from the cosmic, hang from the old ones, the tones, the gears, the props and the vibe, every much temper, chillin' outside, way back, way back. From where music really started, I'm a child of the 80s. So where I departed, since then I started a collection of the people who started it all. I reckon, therefore I kept them in my side like mine. Blues music. Blues music.
They used that then to formulate a diagnosis of latent depression, or perhaps even active depression, which means you need to take a pill. In about 1951, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of the American Psychiatric Association had identified about 151 mental disorders. Today, it's up to 374 and still growing. And of course, every time they come out with a new mental disorder, then they come out with a new drug.
It's all about rocking the van, not rock to roll, but sway to sway. Shots work out of play, yo, that fly goes to be say day. About 8 miles to the garden, that's some highway set, and that's a cool, cool lounge in Atlantic City bound in 1920 to the 1970s. A shame with some fool, hoes, yo, some Eddie, get ready real cool, cool, cool. The earth and side cat, hi-hat, dope, dope, road, devil sings my things, the bass where I sat. Yeah. Let the rhyme ring. Yeah. The tense of the time of the old time. Blues, blues, I grew.
This use of chemicals to alter or try to alter human behavior has just, in my opinion, gotten out of hand. These psychotropic drugs that are pushing borderline people over into madness and violence and even stimulating otherwise normal kids into just, you know, unconscionable acts. All you have to do is look at the record. The incidence of school shootings, teen suicides, violence has just skyrocketed. This wholesale drugging of an entire generation of children, we're setting ourselves up for a great fall, because these are the people who will be determining the path of our society and of our country in the future. And if we turn them into drug-induced zombies, we're gonna really have a problem.
Blind Lemma Jefferson and Zeus BMWs, the proof force, the Abacana Booker White, Booker T, James Brown. Jimmy Smith at the console, so with the girls, Aretha Shaka Khan, the So Solid Gold, Cisco, Estani, and LaBelle, too. People's the road with Woody and you, Bob Dylan. A million sears, silver tone. Guitars, heard the legs. Yo, don't you take them nowhere. Blues music.
If that's the world you want, where everybody goes around drugged up, as in Aldous Huxley's A Brave New World, and that they march along to the same drummer as in George Orwell's 1984. If that's what you really want, then, you know, I'm all for democracy, but I just really don't think that's what we want. We must develop a public dialogue about these psychotropic drugs and their uses and their abuses. We have just simply got to return to some normalcy and some sanity instead of putting a whole generation of Americans on drugs.
It's like chewing gum with your headphones on, like zinc and lemonade. The children on the front porch after running ball, like you lost a $20 bill, like I got a free ticket, yo, from the scratch and win. It's like the swimsuit issue. Yeah, man, I think I need a tissue. It's like you and your baby got nasty, cut off and left alone. Now making eyes on the city bus again. Now you got ink spots on your page again. Grandma cooks a blueberry pie. Little sister got a boyfriend, yeah. It's like smoking the right, the final rights, the vinyl rides. Blues music.
Tuesday, August 18th, 2009, the New York Post headlines, "Sell out!" with exclamation point, with a picture of the tortured, treacherous face of Obama. Liberals howl as BAM caves on health plan. And we read, it's enough to make a liberal sick. Diehard supporters of President Obama were feeling betrayed yesterday over signs from the White House that it was set to pull the plug on a key aspect of the health reform plan, a government-run insurance program. You can't do health reform without it, says Howard Dean. Now, of course, the point here is Obama, the puppet of Wall Street, not a socialist, in no way socialist, an enemy of the working class, an enemy of workers, an agent of finance capital, the opposite of a socialist, rather, an exponent of the Mussolini fascist corporate state, down into the smallest details. And I'm speaking now with my hat as a professional historian emphatically on. This is the fascist corporate state. This is the opposite of socialism. This is the counter-revolution fielded by the European finance oligarchy against socialism.
Conspiracy theories.
Warmongering, as in Afghanistan escalation, endless war, torture, the war criminal McChrystal, Obama's hand-picked candidate to be the commander in Afghanistan, a torturing war criminal left over from the hot phase of Iraq. So Obama now goes to the meeting of the Veterans of Foreign Wars in Phoenix and gives a speech worthy of Bush, worthy of Cheney. Obama channels Bush and Cheney in Phoenix, where you look at this speech, he's got 9/11 in there. He's got new 9/11. He says, if we don't clean out the Taliban in Afghanistan, we face a new 9/11. There will be a new 9/11. Unbelievable. 9/11 people, please take note.
That's not patriotic.
Well, the health care is obvious. It's like any other business. You want to get the best price for your health care. There's nothing mysterious about it. Drugs cost money. Do you want the wholesale price, or do you want the retail price? Do you want to pay the Tiffany prices and get crappy health care, or do you want to pay Walmart prices and get health care that works for you? It's just a matter of pricing. You know, health care, there's nothing mysterious about it. You know, they talk about European health system, and they talk about the system in Britain and the system in France. Basically, it boils down to this. You pay a low, you know, yearly amount of money when you break it all down, and you don't have to think about health care. People in France don't even think about health care because it's not even an issue, because it's just totally within their life. They don't sit around debating health care. They solved that mystery 60 years ago. The America is still talking about health care 60 years after World War II. It shows that they're in the poo-poo caca phase.
Got arrested 2 days ago at the Federal Reserve for standing outside on the sidewalk.
We're talking about the Constitution.
I know exactly what the dollar is going to do, but I'm not at liberty.
You're not
going to
tell me.
And those people who have been yelling, oh, the UN's going to take over global
conspiracy
government.
Conspiracy theorists.
They've been crazy, but now they're right.
There's a document that I found that I haven't seen anywhere. I mean, I haven't seen any major news source talk about this. I mean, I haven't seen on CNN, Fox News. No one's talking about this news piece or this news story I found. I stumbled across, I don't know how I got it. Sometimes I don't know how I get things, but that just happened somehow. A PDF, it was a flyer about this international swine flu conference. And when I started reading some of the contents of this conference, guess what? It's taking place today. It's right now. It took place Wednesday, Thursday, and then they're having the workshops on Friday. Wait till I show you some of the stuff they're talking about. They're talking about taking your kids from you. They're talking about mass quarantines. They're talking about mass vaccinations. Oh. You don't believe? Look at this. Okay, here is the International Swine Flu Conference PDF, and you'll see there it says Washington, D.C., And it says there that top leaders and key decision makers of major companies representing a broad range of industries will meet with distinguished scientists, public health officials, law enforcement officials, responders, and other experts to discuss pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response and recovery at the first International Swine Flu Summit. How exciting, isn't it? Now, look here. Topics include conducting morgue operations. Why would you need to conduct morgue operations? Morgue as in people dying, killing people, as in people being put in the morgue? They're also going to be talking about mass fatality management planning. Look at concurrent breakout session number 2. Breakdown of public services utilities, unwillingness to follow government orders. Wait, they're having a workshop discussion on you and me and how we're going to be unwilling to follow government orders? Wait a minute. Okay, so mass morgue planning, and then also in the same conference, they're going to be planning on how to deal with the unwillingness of government orders. Sounds like a conference that I want to be a part of. Let me continue on. Look at this. Concurrent breakout session number 4. Disruptions of public and private critical infrastructure, undermining your essential functions. Management of interruptions of food, fuel, essential supplies, supply chains, established stockpiles. Manage panic caused by sudden disruption of services and interruptions of essential goods and services. Little side note. I always have in my house about 3 to 4 weeks worth of food, water, supplies, whatever, you know, in case of something like this, where they all of a sudden there would be a stoppage of essential supplies. I encourage everyone to have a month or so of, you know, essential stuff that you need. Look, there's a swine flu conference going on right now talking about these things. So guess what? You and I need to be prepared for these things if they're talking about this. Let me continue on. Concurrent breakout session number 7. Effectively undertake mass vaccinations. Enforce quarantines. They are meeting about enforcing quarantines and mass vaccinations. You guys, this is serious. People think that I'm crazy for even talking about this. They're discussing how to carry out mass quarantines and mass vaccinations. And what are you and I talking about? We're talking about where we're going to eat dinner for tonight and American Idol and whatever. I mean, do you understand the severity of what's happening? Power is knowledge. We need to be prepared. Let me just show you a couple more things. They're talking about in concurrent breakout session number 8, control traffic, evacuations, and mass transportations. Let me drop down to number 12 here. Number 12 was alarming. Train teachers to screen for symptoms and know what to do when students slash teachers fall ill. Transport ill students. Are they saying that they're going to teach teachers how to detect who is sick in the classroom and then call public officials, call the police, say, little Johnny is sick here and we need to come pick him up? Are they teaching students? Are they teaching teachers how to be, I don't know, watchdogs? And then what's going to happen? The police officer is going to come to the school, take the child away to one of these internment resettlement specialist camps. They're going to, I mean, this is what they're planning. They're trying to teach people how to carry out these mass vaccinations, quarantines, and now they're teaching the students in this conference how to detect if a kid is ill, and how to call the public officials, and then transport that ill child. That's what it says, transport the ill child for what and where and without the consent of whom.
It's stand up. We shall not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes. If you got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up and I'll copy you. Stand up. We shall not be moved, except by a woman dying from a loss of food. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up and I'll copy you. We still don't understand. Thunder and lightning flash back to when we didn't fund the dam. Didn't fund the dam levy? No wonder, man. Now a whole damn city's torn asunder, man. Underwater, but we still don't understand. We've seen hurricane spills overrun the land through gaps you couldn't fill with 100 tons of sand. No, we still don't understand. We've seen planes in the windows of buildings crumbled in. We've seen flames sending chills through London, and we've sent planes to kill them, and some of them are children, but still we crumble in the building. Underfunded, but we still don't understand. Under God, but we kill like the son of Sam. But if you feel like I feel about the son of man, we will overcome. So stand up. We shall not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up and I'll copy you. Stand up. We shall not be moved, except by a woman dying from a loss of food. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up and I'll copy you. I said put your hands up and I'll copy you. Put your hands up and I'll copy you. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up and I'll copy you. We shall not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes. Except by a woman dying from a loss of food. Except by a freedom fighter bleeding on a cross for you. We shall not be moved, except by a system that's rotten through. Neglecting the victims and ordering the cops to shoot. High treason, now we need to prosecute. So stand up. We shall not be moved, and we won't fight a war for a fossil fuel. Of times like this, if you wanna plot a coup, put your hands up and I'll copy you. Stand up. Stand up. We shall not be moved unless we're taking a route we have not pursued. So if you've got a dream and a lot to do, put your hands up and I'll copy you. I said put your hands up and I'll copy you. Put your hands up and I'll copy you. If you've got a dream and a lot to do, put your hands up. Now shake. Shake a Polaroid dream. Nightmare negatives develop on the screen. We sit back and wait for the government team. Criticize they, but who the fuck are we? The people want peace, but the leaders want war. Neighbors don't speak, peek through the front door. House representatives preach, stay the course.
It's time for a leap of faith.
Once more, put your hands up high if you haven't abandoned. Hope that the pen stroke's stronger than the cannon. Balls to the wall, nose to the grindstone.
My interrogation techniques leave your mind blown.
Place your bets, let's speak to the enemy. Don't let him pretend that we seek blood. And who's we anyway? Kimosabe, mighty warlord, wanna be street dog. A threat for a threat leaves the whole world terrified. Blow for blow never settles the score. Word for word, it's time we clarify. We the people did not want war. So stand up. Except by a child with no socks and shoes. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up and I'll copy you. Stand up.
Stand up.
We shall not be moved unless we're taking a route we have not pursued. So if you've got a dream and a lot to do, put your hands up and I'll copy you. I said put your hands up and I'll copy you. Put your hands up and I'll copy you. If you've got a dream and a lot to do, put your hands up.
A new military agreement between the United States and Colombia has raised concerns in Latin America. Leaders want to know why the United States is escalating its military presence in the region. Now, the Colombian government says that more U.S. troops would help fight drug trafficking and combat terrorism in South America, but not everyone is keen on these plans. Venezuela's Hugo Chavez came out and said that these bases will provoke military conflict in Latin America, and he feels that this is just a way for the United States to control the flow of resources in Colombia. Well, Eva Golinger is a Venezuelan-American author and attorney. She's in Caracas right now, and she joins me via Skype. Thank you so much for speaking to me. So, according to the Colombian government, this agreement is a good thing. It's going to stop drug trafficking, stop terrorism. So why is Chavez so against this?
Well, there has been an ongoing escalation of military presence in the region on behalf of the United States over the past 10 years through Plan Colombia. We're talking close to $10 billion overall in investment by the United States government in these efforts to thwart drug trafficking and production in Colombia and to fight against leftist guerrillas in Colombia. Nevertheless, what we've seen over the past 10 years is actually an increase in drug production and drug trafficking, particularly between Colombia and the United States. So what's become apparent to most in the region is that Plan Colombia really doesn't have the objective of addressing directly the war on drugs, but actually is more a plan of the United States to establish a very present military force and power in the region in order to secure its control over this region's natural resources and strategic resources. And we know, for example, Venezuela is one of the major oil-producing countries in the world, and that certainly the United States government has its eye on controlling these reserves in Venezuela. And under the leadership of President Chavez, not the, the supply to the United States of oil has not been stopped or slowed down, but certainly is no longer the priority of Venezuela to just supply the United States.
We are the insurgents.
Okay, but they want to put these bases in Colombia, not in Venezuela. So why is Chavez kind of getting in the middle, ardently opposing this? They're not going to be in his country.
Well, Colombia is a neighbor of Venezuela. It's very, a very close neighbor, close ties economically, socially, and culturally. But also, we're already talking about a strong U.S. military presence in Colombia that's been built up over the past 10 years. You know, where the U.S. already occupies 3 military bases in Colombia, 12 radar sites, has on site several thousand U.S. Between troops and different officials of the armed forces and of and law and security from the United States are already operating in Colombia. We've already had incidents coming out of Colombia directed towards Venezuela and directed towards another neighbor country, Ecuador, on behalf of Colombia that have formed a part of what the U.S. calls preventive war, preventive warfare, attacking so-called leftist rebels that have spilled over the borders into the neighboring countries. And so there's a great fear that this level of increase, we're talking about occupying 7 more military bases, naval bases, army bases, air bases in Colombia for a so-called war on drugs. It's too excessive of a U.S. military force and presence to just be addressing the issue of drug trafficking. And what's become apparent to Venezuela and others in the region is that this is an effort of the United States to reestablish its domination and control in this region.
Everybody be cool, this is a robbery!
But Hugo Chavez is one of the largest consumers of weapons in that region, so isn't this a little bit hypocritical of him then?
Actually, that's not accurate. Colombia
is not?
A much bigger, no, it's not accurate.
How is
Colombia's
that not?
Colombia's war budget, defense budget, is much higher than Venezuela's. Brazil's is over.
Well,
10
having a higher
higher
budget doesn't necessarily mean that they're buying weapons with that budget, does it?
The difference, actually, well, they are buying weapons, but the major difference here is that in the case of Venezuela, Venezuela had an armed forces when Chavez came to power that was basically dysfunctional, that didn't even have tanks that were up to date or rifles that were modernized. And so Venezuela began to buy more arms to update more its military forces. And in fact, many of those efforts were to precisely fight against the drug trafficking and production coming out of Colombia and the civil war in Colombia that has spilled over the borders of Venezuela throughout the past several decades. And then we have in the year 2006, the United States imposed a sanction on Venezuela prohibiting the sale of weapons and arms from the United States to Venezuela based on what the United States says was an alleged link between Venezuela and so-called terrorist groups. And so Venezuela began to purchase weapons from Russia. And this is when we began to see this sort of blow up in the media, primarily from spokespeople in the United States in the Pentagon, saying that Venezuela is starting an arms race in Latin America. But that's actually not true. Venezuela was forced to buy weapons from other countries because of the sanctions imposed by Washington and has seen, as a result of this ongoing aggression coming from the United States, the necessity to ensure that at least the Venezuelan armed forces are equipped enough to defend their own territory.
That's the cool breeze of freedom right there.
Okay, very briefly, how is Chavez going to respond once those bases are set up there?
Well, it's the occupation of Colombian military bases. It's not the establishment of new bases. And so that's already a process that's underway. So our response, you know, and from Venezuela and the people of Venezuela as well, is that this is an unacceptable military escalation in the region. There's absolutely no justification for it other than an aggression towards the peoples of Latin America. And I think people will continue to resist and protest those actions.
Sweet!
When the European first came here, Columbus, we could drink out of any river. If the Europeans had lived the Indian way when they came, we'd still be drinking out of water because the water is sacred. The air is sacred. Our DNA is made of the same DNA as the tree. The tree breathes what we exhale. When the tree exhales, we need what the tree exhales. So we have a common destiny with the tree. We are all from the earth. And when the earth, the water, the atmosphere is corrupted, then it will create its own reaction. Mother is reacting.
And the world has become, quote, a market. And it's this market that we have to deal with. And it's this idea of boundless and endless resources. And when you say resources, you're talking about our relatives. You're talking about our family. Fish are our family. It's not a resource, it's a family. It requires all the respect. The structure of the world itself is such, it functions on natural law, and the natural law is a powerful regenerative process. There's a process of regeneration that continues and grows and is endless. It's absolutely endless if everyone agrees to the law and follows the law. But if you challenge the law, and you think you're going to change the law, and you're bound to failure. And in that failure will be a lot of pain, because the natural law has no mercy. It is only the law. The earth is all powerful. It wasn't made here for human beings. He said, we're part of it. But we don't have to be here, because the earth has its own process. And if it becomes to the point where you destroy yourself as human beings and you destroy life and finally leave this earth, the earth's not going to disappear. There's not going to be an end of the world. That's really a very interesting concept to us. No, the world won't end. People's life on it will. So it's not the end of the world you're talking about, it's the end of us. And the world, no matter what damage you think you've done to it, will regenerate, will re-green, will redo everything that was here at one time, except there won't be any people. Because it's got all the time in the world. you're coming down the final stretch, you're racing towards the finish, and there is the stone wall, and you're not pulling your horse. You're not stopping. You're in fact accelerating. That's the way I see the use of what you call resources. You're using them faster than they're reproducing. And you're headed towards that disaster, and none of you are pulling your horse. And every day that you don't do what's right is a day that you've lost an option. And you're losing your options every day. No tree grows by itself. A tree is a community. Certain trees, certain plants will gather around certain trees. And certain medicines will gather around those certain plants. So that if you kill all the trees, if you cut all the trees, and you're destroying the community, you're not just destroying a tree, you're destroying a whole community that surrounds it and thrives on it, and that may be very important medicine for people or for animals. So you've lost the community, and if you clear cut, which is what's happening in America and Canada a great deal these days, and I guess around the world, then you are really a very destructive force. And simply replanting trees is not replanting community. You lost a lot in the process. If you don't understand that, you will. And that understanding comes in a very difficult manner. And of the 100 dominant economic units in the world today, 100 largest economic units, and that's the word they use, was units. 49 are countries and 51 are corporations. Now, you digest that for a second. What does that mean? It means that corporations are the driving force of decision-making today. And corporations are not concerned with human rights. They're not concerned with human life. They're not even concerned with a proper wage for the people that are working for them. So what kind of decisions are going to be made on our behalf by this economic power, these corporate states, I call them? Oh, there's going to be hell to pay, as they say, for some of the things that are going on now. So I think that people have to become aware and become awake, and not, and power is always in the people's hands, authority. They need to come of one mind, and they need to challenge the values that are being shoved at them today, because this has become a consumer society. It's driven by economics, it's not driven by common sense. You know, it's not good sense to follow somebody just because. Why? You can't give me an answer why you follow him, but if he were going to do something like jumping off a cliff, would you follow him? Would you do that? Use your sense. Use your common sense. Everybody should be their own leader. In other words, do your thinking for yourself. And we look about for allies, we look about for friends, we look about for people who will understand and agree with those mandates of peace. That we are now placing in your hands all life. And it is your responsibility and it is your duty to look after all life. And so when he was speaking like that, he wasn't talking about our aunts and our uncles and our cousins and our fathers and our mothers. He was talking about all life. He was talking about the trees. He was talking about the fish, animals, everything that grows, everything with life, because it is a family.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?